Argentina is South America's third largest economy. But if you've been reading headlines recently, you might have a different image of the country's economy in your mind. Not a terribly flattering one for a big economy. Argentina has been declared in default by a federal judge in New York. At issue is Argentina's foreign debt, what it owes foreign banks, and how Argentina is allowed to pay that debt. Our editor, William Troop, brought this one up in our editorial meeting today. So, William, set this up for us. What is going on here?
Well, to really know what's going on, you have to go back a few years, and I'm just going to give you a very basic timeline of this crisis. In 2001, Argentina defaulted on its foreign debt, somewhere between $80 and $90 billion, meaning that it stopped paying its creditors back. And after that, the creditors in Argentina negotiated a new deal, with almost all of the creditors agreeing to let Argentina pay back just about 30% of the money that Argentina owed them originally. But not everyone took that deal. A couple of hedge funds held out, demanding 100% repayment from Argentina. Argentina said no. So these so-called holdouts, or as they're called in Argentina, vulture funds, they sued Argentina here in the U.S., and after much legal wrangling going over years, a district court judge, Thomas Grisa in New York, ruled in favor of the hedge funds and barred Argentina from paying any of its creditors until it reaches a deal with the holdouts. Argentina again refused, arguing that any new deal with the holdouts would force it to pay all of its other creditors more money, and it says it can't afford to do that. So to get around the judge's order banning it from paying its creditors through a bank in New York, Argentina recently passed a law allowing itself to pay its creditors through a bank in Buenos Aires, so paying at home in Argentina. The judge responded saying that's illegal and has declared Argentina to be in contempt of court and in default of its debt again. And so far, none of Argentina's creditors want to run afoul of the judge either, so the standoff continues.
Wow. So very messy, but certainly thank you for that backgrounder. For more details on this, let's turn to Anna Gelpern. She's an expert on sovereign debt issues, all this stuff we're talking about, at Georgetown University Law School in Washington. This is complex stuff, Anna, but we want answers to just a few key questions to keep things simple. First of all, why does Argentina's foreign debt have to go through New York? And why does this judge in New York have so much power over a foreign nation?
It's a really simple answer. They agreed to do it in their debt contracts in 1994 and then again in 2005 and 2010. And this is actually quite common for countries that, unlike the United States, cannot easily raise money from foreigners under their own domestic law and their own domestic currency. They borrow abroad in foreign money under foreign law.
Even now, though, as we heard from William, it feels like every time Argentina wants to try and come up with a solution that would kind of help itself, the judge in New York kind of stops it.
Well, the judge in New York is in a pickle. The judge in New York has said, as you said earlier, Argentina has a contract. It has a contract to pay. It hasn't paid. There's very little a judge can do to change that fact. He can't say, well, Argentina doesn't owe the money because there's no bankruptcy for sovereign states. So what the judge did do, though, which was somewhat unorthodox, is a judge created a very powerful remedy for nonpayment. The judge said, I'm going to, in effect, create a boycott. I'm going to prohibit Argentina from paying anybody else unless it also pays its defaulted creditors, the ones you described as holdouts.
So explain, if you would, please, why Americans should be caring about this, Americans who are dealing with our own domestic economic issues from unemployment to housing starts. How will this affect the global economy and affect us?
Well, I think it's too much to say that this will have an immediate effect on the global economy. I am sure that there are those who will say for the courts in New York to pull out all stops to enforce a New York law contract. On the other hand, others will say that this has been a profoundly destructive episode that will not endear New York to other foreign governments who try to raise money in the international capital markets, that others might think twice about raising money in New York, submitting to New York law, or using U.S. financial institutions as intermediaries. Now, the biggest near-term impact you're going to see is you see copycat cases, so that Grenada was sued using essentially the same argument. But the other thing is that you will see future debt crises, and countries that try to restructure might have a much harder time convincing their creditors to go along. You're not just taking a haircut. You're not just taking 30 cents on the dollar. You're also taking the risk that your 30 cents would be blocked by subsequent lawsuits. So at that point, what is the incentive of negotiating a debt restructuring with a country? The biggest incentive is certainty, and all of a sudden, you lose certainty as a result of this lawsuit.
Anna Gelpern teaches law at Georgetown University. She's also a fellow at the Peterson Institute for International Economics. Greatly appreciate your time. Thanks for being so clear about this.
It's a pleasure. Thank you.